agenda of Tuesday, November 26th. Regular council meeting of the Region of Queens Municipality. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Are there any changes or approval to the agenda? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion to approve the agenda. Moved by Councilor Gidney, seconded by Councilor Brown. All those in favor? Passed. Are there any petitions? Public comment question. Do you have any comments other than relating to the heritage designation? Any other comments to anything on the agenda? Thank you. Approval of the minutes, the regular council meeting October 12th, 2021. Moved by Councilor Hawks, seconded by Councilor Romero. All those in favor? Passed. Approval of the public hearing of October 12th, 2021. Moved by Councilor Charlton, seconded by Deputy Mayor Muse. All those in favor? Passed. Which takes us to 6.1, our call. Mr. McLeod, Director of Planning. There is a motion in the packet. Councilor Cox.
I recommend the Council of Regional Queens Municipality serve notice of recommendation. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality register property identified as PID 70151147 and located at 25 West Colony Road, known as the Milton Douglas House, to use the registering of heritage property.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Mr. McLeod, would you like to make some comments on this?
Mayor, I guess the application for designation of the Milton Douglas House in what is now the North Queens Heritage House Museum in the Municipal Registry of Heritage Properties. The applicants have spoken at the hearing just a few minutes ago in support of having this property designated. It was discussed that the house itself is certainly a fine example of the architecture which was typical of construction during that time period. When discussed with the Heritage Advisory Committee, it was also the feeling of the committee that just as important as the house itself is, equally or even more important, they felt, was the important role that the Douglas family played in the development of Caledonia and North Queens area. So certainly the Heritage Advisory Committee was fully supportive of this request for municipal heritage designation and recommended the council as well.
Anyone have any questions of Director McLeod? If not, I'm going to ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
Order the plaque.
Order the plaque. Order the plaque. You're good to go. Drive safely. You as well. 6.2 is second reading of a bylaw respecting inclusive reconciliation civic holiday. There is a recommendation in the package. Councilor Brown.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to a bylaw respecting a truth and reconciliation civic holiday.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. And as we know from our last meeting, the last time we discussed this, the federal government regulated this as holiday for all federal employees. The province regulated it as a holiday for all provincial employees. And within the Municipal Government Act, we have the ability to initiate civic holidays for our staff. Are there any questions that anyone may have before I ask for the question? Seeing none, I ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. The trucking of bulk salt tender, Director Grant. So this is a yearly tender bid.
That's right.
For the tender and who we purchase their bulk salt from. You will note that there is just one small typo. It's within the first page. And it says the lowest tender was submitted by Douglas Wynot Trucking Limited at a tender price. And it says there $41.40. That should have been $41.50, which is a slight typo error. But Director Grant, do you have anything to comment on this?
The recommendation, right?
All right, we need the recommendation first. Thank you, Deputy Mews.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the tender PW04-2021/2022 trucking of the bulk salt be awarded to Donald Wynot Trucking Limited for the tender price of $41.50 per metric ton plus HST for the 2021/2022 winter season.
And that is seconded by Councillor Giddens. Now, Director Grant.
So we issued a tender for the hauling of bulk salt towards the end of September, early October. Two responses were received, both local Queens-based contractors. The same two generally have responded over the last few years. So it represents about a 6% increase, which isn't too extreme given the fuel condition right now. And it's well within market range, I guess.
Any questions of Director Grant?
Just a comment. I think it's great that the increase is not that bad. The way everything's going, I think this is one of the better deals that we're getting at this point. Thank you.
No other comments? I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 6.4 is the approval of amended policy 66, the appointment of the traffic authority. There is a recommendation in the package. Deputy Mayor Mews.
I move that the Council of Region Queens Municipality approve revised policy 66 respecting the appointment of traffic authority.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. And as we know from our discussion, there was a change in the policy naming Garrett as the assistant or the replacement or alternate. Any questions of Director Grant on this? Seeing none, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 6.5, EC Bellevue Vino Inc., a request for waiver of policy 58, consumption of alcohol on municipally owned properties. Again, there is a recommendation in the package. Councillor Charlton.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality agree to waive policy 58- consumption of alcohol on municipally owned properties at the request of AC Bellevue Vino Incorporated at 54 Harley Humphrey Drive, Liverpool, in the month of November 2021, and that the applicant be required to submit proof of insurance in no less than $2 million per occurrence with the Region of Queens Municipality as additional insured and copy of the in effect, liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia to the region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
Thank you. And is seconded by Councillor Romero. Are there any questions anyone has respecting this request? Councillor Brown.
I just wondered why we have somebody, is it necessary to have this with somebody who's renting a space in our offices, that, you know, that were they in effect own that space or they've signed a lease for it?
If I may, yeah.
Yeah.
So while they lease it, we own it, and
okay.
Our provision provides that they require our permission. So no different than the Astor Theater Society requires our permission to have liquor at the Astor Theater. If Hank Snow wished to sell liquor at
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 6.6 is Ms. Plummer, Manager of Finance. Please come to this table. There is a recommendation in the package. Councilor Gidney?
I recommend that the council reads the Queens Municipality adopt policy number 14, payment arrangements.
And seconded by Councilor Hawks. Would you like to perhaps just go over the changes or what this now looks like?
So this is a new policy. There hasn't been a payment arrangement policy before. It's just support and guidance for me when I'm making payment arrangements with taxpayers. So ideally we would have the tax payments paid and caught up within 16 months. Obviously there's situations where we know that's why we're saying that I can negotiate where some people can't do it in that amount of time, which is fine. But that's ideally when we would like to see them to avoid so the sewer payments and the water payment arrangements, we try to get those paid within the 90 days, as mentioned here. Sewer forms a lien, so we can take that as part of the tax sale.
And everything will be a signed arrangement, not verbal?
Yes.
And the numbers all come into effect the day the signed arrangements are made. Are there any questions of Ms. Plummer? Councilor Fancy.
Yes, two things, Mallory. I guess now we're going to be 3 years instead of 6 years, right? Or for going to tax sale. That's quite a change there, which is really a help because it was going on too long with a lot of these issues. The other thing I see here where especially look at the water payments, says renegotiations will not be considered where the agreement is in default. So if somebody was in behind the payments, you can't try to negotiate with them, or they have to be caught up to payments before they...
No, I tell everybody if they can't make a payment to contact me before the payment is due so we can work something out.
Right.
But if they don't make the payment, then we just have to assume they're in default, not because they were struggling that month and something came up. So
okay, but what I read here is that if they forget to call you before and they get into default,
mm-hmm.
then there's no way to make arrangements because it's saying here.
Well, it depends
default.
On if they're over. I mean, I could proceed with tax sale proceedings. It depends on the history
right.
of the account too. If it's someone that's notorious for not
right. But just when I read that line, it looks like it says, well, if they're in default, there's no chance for renegotiation.
CAO McNeil had something to add.
Yes.
To
so
okay.
just to, in the definition section, talks about what default is, failure to fulfill
right.
one full payment by the subscribed date from the payment arrangement.
Right.
So a person would only be in default if they already have a payment arrangement. So if somebody is just behind,
mm-hmm.
We would still, that's the reason they need a payment arrangement because they're behind.
That's right.
So
that's
we're not limiting those people because they're behind. That's
mm-hmm.
the people we need to come forward to meet with
mm-hmm.
the manager of finance and say, I'm behind, but I want to catch up, and so can I make a payment arrangement to get caught up?
Right.
And as the manager has said, for taxes it's 16 months, for water and sewer it's 3 months, which
right.
essentially is another payment cycle. But
okay.
if we have agreed with somebody that they agree to pay over,
right.
Say, 3 months, and they don't make the first payment, then they're in default. And then that's when it kicks in, that then we won't allow them to keep going on with that payment arrangement until they bring themselves up to date. But then if they
okay.
fall back behind again, then we can negotiate another payment arrangement for them.
Okay.
But it's only if they have a signed agreement with us that they would be determined to be in default if they agree to pay a certain amount during certain times, and they default on that.
Okay.
But certainly if somebody's behind, we want them to come in and get a payment
right.
arrangement to get caught up.
Yeah, because when I read that, it didn't sound...
yeah.
It sounds bad.
Any other questions from Ms. Plummer?
And just if
yes.
I may, the number of payment arrangements we would have now would number?
We have around
system to try to get caught up and so on and so forth. Which is a lot of time and effort for our staff, but it's valuable time to help our residents, so.
I'll ask for the question then, all those in favor? Pass. Discussion points, 7.1, policy 23, request for area rate. So as we all know, our CEO is responsible for coming forward with what he feels are the best for our region, protection for our people. Hence, you see this policy in front of us. So assuming that all have read this policy and your agenda, are there any questions of our CAO respecting the policy changes? Councilor Charles.
A few things I have noted here. So I think the change in the deadline makes sense with our budget process. I'm definitely a fan of that. I'm not crazy over the fee potentially, just because I foresee. I think that if we ever have wide rate area rates imposed, I think they would be from potentially maybe the fire service. So I don't know how I feel about those fees in that instance. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't foresee many area rate requests, especially after our last one that was in tried to, with, it was tried to, we tried to withdraw it, sorry. But that's kind of really all I have, just sort of about the fee. I don't, just imposing fees on the organization asking for it, I guess.
The discussion about the fees and what it costs us to have these things and.
And I can appreciate the comments, and
yeah.
So when drafting the revised policy, it wasn't meant to be punitive by any means. It's just simply trying to recover a cost. So if somebody comes in, wants a building permit,
yeah.
There's a fee associated with that. They want a development permit, there's a fee associated with that. Because it's time that our staff are incurring in that. And so this particular one, when we did the review, we thought, you know, the last issue, the last area rate meeting we did, we spent a significant amount of time on it, significantly more than what's in the proposed policy. And so from a staff perspective, we just thought that there should be some modest amount of an application fee. So we don't get, although that last one was unsuccessful, it doesn't mean we won't get 5 or 6 requests, because if it's free, then it's very easy for people to come forward and say, okay, we'll ask. And then based on the amount of time and effort it took staff to do the last one, it would be very cumbersome and very time consuming if we got multiple requests in any one year. So it's just thought to be there. Staff are not for or against the fee. We just thought it in line with all the other fees we charge. It just made sense to charge a modest fee. And it's not, it simply just recovers our costs as far as renting halls. And putting ads in newspapers, which we do under the policy, or what we would do under the policy. And if there was a public vote like we did last time, it would be substantial cost to hire people to go work that poll. So, and we had all day, we had 3 people there. So that time we did with our own staff, but in the future, I would suggest we'll have to hire people to do this.
Mayor Norman, could I add one thing that
yes.
I forgot to mention? So I do also like the fact that people who have property in the district can vote, because we, I think all of council heard that people wanted to vote that just had seasonal or land there. Could it be possible to accept in this instance of area rate a mail-in? Could you ever do that, a mail-in ballot? So I'm just wondering if it's someone that has land or a cottage and they're not able to get here, could they still cast their vote if there was an area rate vote?
That's a logistic problem that I'm not sure how that would work.
I mean, we'd have to go through our records, and I'd have to look at the legality, but I'm not sure we're allowed to do that. But if we were, certainly we could look at that. Just it's another, if you've got, say there's 16,000 accounts, divide that by 7 districts. So if you had, say, like 2,000 accounts, 2,000 by a dollar or something to mail them out, you're in several thousand dollars to do a mail out to all those people, plus the vote, plus the paper, plus the time to do those lists and stuff. So it would be an added cost and added time consumption, but if that's what council wish to do, we can investigate and determine if that's typically you're not allowed to use the data we collect, except for the use for which it's collected, and so we don't collect the assessment data, and so we use the assessment data for something else other than assessment data for taxation purposes, is usually not allowed. It's no different when we had the election in Beach Meadows last time, their area rate meeting. We couldn't use the election list because we're not allowed to legally use the election list for other than elections. So we simply, when people came in, they just simply gave an affidavit or just swore that they were eligible to vote in that district and we let them vote in good faith. That was the only way we could do it because we didn't have access to the election list.
Right, it could be possibly just saying that if we could accept a mail-in ballot, when we advertise that there's an area rate, put an option for a mail-in ballot, so that person saw that and wanted to vote, they could see that information, try to mail it to that.
How would, we'd have to mail them out a ballot?
No.
They couldn't just write a letter saying, I am.
But I mean, like on a contact, if they contacted the region of Queens, they wished to vote and they couldn't be here in person. I'm not saying there would be capacity.
So anything's possible, we'd have to extend the timeline though, because if somebody is, lives in Ontario or out west, you have to allow 7 days to mail it, 7 days to get back, and so on and so forth. So you'd have to, between the time the application came in and we had the stuff, you'd actually have to allow probably 3 weeks for the mail-in ballots to come back. So we just extend the time.
Councilor Mara, did you have a question?
I was wondering that as well. I had that down. I really like the idea that everybody can vote, not just the people that's permanent residents here. But I was asked that as well when we had our last area rate meeting. There was people that could not make it, so, but they wanted to vote, so I don't know if we can find a way to do that.
Would that be something logistical that would be able to happen within this policy, or this policy could always make a policy change if it was the wish of council?
We'd have to change it, yeah, and so this is why it's here for discussion. Like I said, it's just going to extend out the timeline, so if we, so if the, in here, it talks about the group doing a presentation or providing a public meeting, and so then we would have to then, after that meeting or that presentation, if it was posted on our website or something like that,
yeah,
people would then have to request a mail-in ballot either then or beforehand,
yeah,
and then we wouldn't be able to actually have a vote. Spirit talks about, I think, at least 5 days later, so it would probably have to be at least 21 days after that you'd have the vote, because you'd have to allow for those mail-in votes to be sent out and come back in. And if somebody was overseas, that would be impossible, so,
yeah,
to get back in a reasonable time. And to do it electronically, then you can't do that because then there's no confidentiality anymore. We know exactly how people want to vote.
Councilor Brown?
When we had the last area rate request, it was explained to us that the vote is not binding upon council.
Right.
So if people want to contact their counselor, that can be taken into effect at a later date. So people who can't make it here can still contact us, and we can take that into consideration when we make the final determination whether to accept the vote or not, especially if it was a close vote.
Right. It isn't a matter of the vote of the folk that's the way it goes. It comes back to us.
Yeah. It doesn't look as transparent to do it that way. It's a possibility.
Councilor Fancy?
What would we look as a basis for an application fee? You know, I know there's a lot of things it could be if you're going to have a vote and have to have the printing halls and have staff and such as that. You'd have to have a set, because somebody who is trying to do something like this probably doesn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden a big application fee cuts them out before they even start.
Well, the application fee is $500, and I would assume that if there's an organization that doesn't have $500, they're in trouble, because it does state what the application fee is.
Okay, I guess I didn't see that part of it. Sorry.
Yeah. Under organizational requests, last line down, the applicant shall be required to provide a non-refundable application fee for $500 plus HST for each application, up to two assessments.
That would have been tough if they were the competing last year with the down here in Beach Meadows, if they would have lost $500 for trying to get a request and lost it.
I'm sure how other councilors feel about that. Clancy stated that it would be difficult, it may be difficult for some groups to pay a $500 application fee, which is non-refundable. And then if in the end council votes against the area rate, then that fee is $500 that they've lost in their effort to get an area rate. Remember, this is a discussion paper, so before it goes forward or back to discussion. Councilor Romero?
What about like 250, would that be more suitable? I do agree with Jack, some people are in financial distress and.
So if you wish to change the $500 fee for up to two, then the $1,000 for more than two assessment districts would drop down to 500.
To five?
If that's the way.
I mean, because they still have to pay for their advertising costs and.
No, this all gets covered.
Oh, that's all included in that?
The region covers all the advertising costs.
Okay.
And if anyone's put an ad in the paper lately.
So this ranges from 500 to 1,500, correct?
Pardon?
This can go up as high as 1,500.
It can. And that's based on if council wants to do what we did in Beach Meadows and have a public day-long vote.
Yeah.
We have to hire three people, and so it won't cover that cost of that, but at least recoup some of the cost. To do that, but it would be council's discretion whether you wanted a day-long public vote like that, or you just wanted a public meeting to have a discussion, have a vote at the public meeting. Council would have that discretion for each request.
So what is your feeling, members of council? Councilor Brown?
I think I'm in favor of the lower limit of 250 and 500. I think putting a fee on it keeps people from putting in requests that may not be necessary, but it doesn't put an onerous burden on them if they don't get it.
What about the rest of council? Do you feel the 500 and the 1,000 should go to 250 and 500?
I do.
I see a couple nods.
Yeah.
Three, four, and
yeah.
Five, I mean.
Okay, so let's say when we see this again, you would like to see that go to 250 and 1,500. What about the day long? If it's something and they request a day long vote, remembering that that's going to be staffing higher. Councilor Brown?
I'm okay with leaving those numbers as they are, because if they're requesting the day-long vote, they know they're incurring significant costs, and I don't think we should have to incur all of that.
It would be us requesting the day-long vote, not them, though, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. We decide whether we want to just have a public meeting
okay.
vote or a day-long
yeah.
vote.
Okay, my mistake,
so
Krista.
Would,
yeah.
So that would rest then. With
and I think our last time our vote was because we couldn't have a public hearing because of COVID, so, or we could have did it all in one.
So you wish to keep the fees for the full day as is? Carlton?
So if council chooses to hold that full day vote and someone has already paid the $250 non-refundable, they then are paying $750 non-refundable for the vote?
No. So the way the policy is written is they would come forward with a request for an area rate. The director of corporate services will bring it forward that they want to have an area. They want to have an area rate. Council then would sit and decide: do we wish to move this forward directly to budget without any public consultation? Do we wish to have just a public meeting and a vote at a public meeting, or do we wish to have a public meeting plus a day-long public vote, then we would then notify the applicant this is the direction of council, and then they would pay the fee after that. They wouldn't pay the fee up front.
So if we rewind back to the seaside and council decided they wanted to have that public vote, instead of them paying the 250 is what Jack just proposed, they're going to pay 750.
Correct.
So that's a high fee again.
Yeah.
Because it's not them asking for the vote, it's going to be us to decide
yeah.
that. So if we're okay with 250, how and then they go to 750, it's quite a jump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Understanding that it costs have that vote, but we're the ones who decide how we go about that. And if we don't have to have an all-day vote, we can just have a public hearing and a vote, that's fine with me.
I don't decide, I just moderate. Counselor Clancy?
Is there a way to do steps in between? I'm like, they make their application for this, and they're gonna be paying $250 if we go forward to have a vote, and we meet and we say, we're not for this. So it never does go to a, it never goes to go have a long, day-long vote. But if we say, okay, we're gonna go forward with this, but if you're gonna go forward with this, it's gonna cost you another $500, not gonna cost you $250, it's gonna cost you $750, because we're gonna have the meetings at the halls and things. So then they understand the full cost of what they're going to do.
And that's exactly what would happen, is, like I said, council would deliberate and decide, do we wish to just move it forward to budget without any
Right.
public consultation? Or do we wanna have just a public meeting like we would've had in the past, and have vote rate the meeting? Or do we want a day-long? So we would tell the committee, or council would decide on that, and then tell the applicant, this is what we decided, and they can then say, well, we withdraw our application, and we wanna go forward.
Okay, so they won't lose the $250, they just, you know, they'll, okay, so they're, then they would know it's gonna cost them $750 to have this vote. So, okay.
I'm still not crazy over $750, just because they're asking for the area rate, but we're the ones deciding if we wanna have that, and to me, that all-day vote doesn't necessarily seem necessary. If you can do it in a public hearing with a meeting, I mean, the vote, we've all just said the vote's not binding anyways. That's a lot for an organization to pay when it's not binding, I don't know.
And we can take that whole section out.
In regards to the Seaside Center and their past area rate application and the vote, Counselor Mayor, do you feel like that you needed a full day for that? Do you think it could be easily handled in a public hearing with a vote at the public hearing?
Well, it could've, if COVID.
Right, understanding that.
It definitely could've.
Couldn't happen, but moving forward, that, you think that would be fair?
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely.
Up until last year, or this spring,
Mm-hmm.
That, I believe, was the first time there was ever that full-day vote, it was ever done that way. They've always been evening meeting, presentation, and a vote.
Yes, yeah.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
So is that the only change, to change the $250 to the $5 to $250, and the $1,000 to $500? Because you will be, so if so, then someone needs to make a motion that this comes back in that direction.
Are we saying we wanna take the full-day vote out completely?
Well, that's what I was just gonna say. Do we feel like that really needs to be in there, Mayor Norman? If we think we can handle that in a public hearing, and there can still be a vote happening, then can we just not, can we remove it? Would there be a reason that we should keep it? I mean.
Well, if we remove it, then, you know, if a group comes forward and wants to have a full day, they're unable to.
But it's not their decision, it's ours.
Yeah, but if they suggest that that's what they want, and they would've paid for it. I mean, it's up to you. If you want it left, you want that, should council choose that whole paragraph down to a full-day vote, do you want that eliminated? Counselor shaking his head no.
I'd like it left in there.
Want it left in there? Clancy wants it left?
Oh, we could, yeah, it's, I mean, it's their choice, so.
Counselor Mayor, good. You want it left in through there?
Then we still choose, it's fine.
Okay, so we need a motion.
Are we leaving it at $750 and $15, or are we changing?
Is $750 and $15, or are they being changed? We drop down to $500 and $750? Or just leave them as the numbers are?
Leave it as.
Leave this?
Okay.
So it's enough, so leave this, so we need a motion? Or a recommendation? Someone needs to move that we bring this back, Counselor Brown?
I move that we bring this forward to the next council meeting for a recommendation, or?
Seconded by Counselor Gidney? consider again. We want to stand the issues to remain on that parking lot issue, but we are still waiting for action on one part of the involved party. Other than that, if all action has been taken. Any questions on the council implementation report? Counselor Charlton asked for discussion on the Queens Place Mayor Center canteen, so Counselor Charlton, I invite you to make your comments on that issue.
Yes, so I have been receiving quite a bit of feedback about the lack of canteen services at the place. I know staff have worked to try to get someone to rent that space. My understanding of the history of that is that it typically happens, but it doesn't last, and I think COVID has put a damper on that as well. My opinion is the canteen is part of the facility, and I think at this point it should be staff. I think if people were beating the door down to operate that canteen, it would be a different story, but they're not. And to me, it should function like the bar staff, the gym staff, and I just think at this point it needs to be staff. It seems impossible.
So, okay, any other comments? Councilor Merrill?
I've been getting a lot of feedback as well. I do agree with Councilor Charlton. I think it should be staffed as well. Maybe not full-time staff, but I think it's very important to have the canteen open for special events, privateer hockey games, larger hockey games, tournaments. Maybe not with a full menu, but we should at least have the basics.
Comments, Councilor Fancy?
I know we have a contract that's there, but the contract is only good if we have two people signing it. People have it and somebody else who signs it. So along with that, I don't know if it's feasible or not, but if we could use the upstairs is a dispensing area where you could have people like somebody over the Quickway could make sandwiches and sell them up there, that they could sell them during the game, or we could have different people lined up for different games. Five Girls Baking brings in bread and stuff and stuff. So we have something that we're dispensing from there, and it's giving us community groups an opportunity to sell and make monies. And it's not costing us anything.
And that's in the upstairs. So the bar would never be able to be open.
Well, I'm just saying that could be, you could use it downstairs. I'm just trying to think some way of creating the downstairs to be just left vacant that we could use for some other purpose. But if we had some kind of a dispensing area, maybe it has to be downstairs. You could dispense from there. I mean, you still could dispense from down there. And if you get community groups that could be able to make some monies by making up, like I said, like over to Quickway and make a bunch of sandwiches and have them and sell them at the games and stuff like that. And then next week would be maybe A1 and Five Girls Baking. Next week somebody else. If people wanted to all do these things, we could then be able to use our community to work with it, and it would be no cost to us.
If I may, we did that 2 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
We had a pizza place come in and do it. They won't come back. We had Subway come in and do it. They won't come back.
Right.
We talked to some of the people that have the local corner stores that do sandwiches. They're
right.
Not interested. The time and effort, the staffing, the health and safety and all that stuff.
Right.
Not interested. We tried that once. We had different ones each week, and even just doing it once in a while. They tried it once, but they won't come back. We talked to them all, or I think almost all of them. If we missed one or two, we may have, about coming in and doing it. It's been advertised many times with service groups and all that stuff. Nobody's interested. We had the bar open for the first Junior B game, and I think we sold 3 drinks.
Yes.
So we lost whatever we lost to pay people to be there to have 3 drinks. Last year, we probably poured out more liquor at the end of the year than we sold during the whole year because it just goes bad. So the revenue isn't there for the bar either.
Right.
But you're just doing it for a small amount. The challenge we have is if you're going to get, you can't just do it part-time
right.
because you the same managing it, ordering the inventory, doing the cash deposits. Doesn't matter if you make $100 or $1,000, you still gotta go through the same deposit system.
Right.
Still gotta go get change. It's a significant time. And that's why we suggested to council, we do not have the capacity to do that. And so it will be, if council wishes to do it, we can do it, but it will be a significant cost to hire people to be able to run that facility. And to run it well, because people expect us to run it, we're gonna run it well. And if some of you that were on council are afraid around the time when it opened, the municipality did staff it, and it did not go well, and that's why it went back to the private sector.
That's right.
And how long did they staff it for? A year or?
I'm not sure. I think it's like 2 years, but I'm not sure, yeah.
Was it?
And we've had multiple people in there to do it, and it's just been a struggle. It's, we, the challenge is we don't have the traffic. We have talked to different people about just doing special events, and some are interested, but they don't wanna commit to it. And because of COVID and everything else going on, now in a year's time, some have said maybe I'll be interested in a year's time.
Council Charlton?
May I ask why it was felt that when the region ran it for the year or two, why it didn't go well?
I can't answer the question. It wasn't direct, I wasn't involved.
It was tried, it was run on existing staff. So existing staff that had other duties also were doing equal time.
I do know.
And the hours were long, it was morning and.
I do know just from our director of recreation that back then it was the staffing, like they were in there helping out with deep fryers and everything else, didn't have proper training, weren't following occupational health and safety things. If somebody didn't show up for work or called in sick, the staff that are working at the desk or people that are working in the fitness center had to go to the canteen and weren't properly trained to be in there. It was unsafe. That was one of the reasons I heard that when we talked to the residents about it.
Yeah, so I think if we're going to staff it, in my opinion, I think it should be staffed. It shouldn't be at the burden of existing staff. It should be staff that deal with the canteen to be safe. I mean, that would be unfair.
So to staff it, then you would hire a manager, do the food ordering, books, to do the paperwork, the whole thing, to find staff. That's what staffing is. Staffing would be hiring someone and saying, your job is to run this canteen.
And our existing staff have to manage that person, so it's not just hiring people and doing it, so our director of recreation still would have of another manager to manage and look after that canteen, deal with the complaints, deal with the policies, the processes, all the cash and all that stuff, the budgeting for it and all that stuff.
Councilor Brown had a comment?
Yeah, I know I can say that I had absolutely zero people in favor that contacted me in favor of running the canteen, and the most people who spoke to me don't go to the games, and they were very much against having their tax rate potentially go up to cover the cost of a canteen so that a few people going to a game could have a hot dog. It's I got a lot of negative feedback amongst the idea.
Didn't I received a lot of complaints that we don't have a canteen. I agree that with Councilor Charles and Councilor Romero that we should be able to do something. I'm not sure exactly what we can do, but even if it was open on a part-time basis, with very minimal whatever, coffee, soft drinks, whatever, and then work it from there. I'd like to see something, a plan of sorts or something that we can look at to see what the cost would be, actual costs, and what we would have to do to have a person or persons in there.
And if I may, we do have soft drinks there. There are two vending machines that have soft drinks in them. We do have a machine there that has chips and chocolate bars in it. Our staff did reach out to that vendor to put more machines in, but they refused because there's no market for it anytime soon. It wasn't worth their time to bring any more machines or put any more food in there. We've looked in the past at putting in like a coffee machine or something like that, but we have to incur significant expense to run water lines and everything in order to be able to put a machine in there. And then most people have said that we've talked to aren't interested. They're going to Tim Hortons or McDonald's on the way, and they're just bringing it with them, which is the normal way they've been doing for years. Even when we had a canteen, most people were still walking in with Tim Hortons or McDonald's coffee anyway. So we've looked at all those options, we've exhausted, I think staff can honestly say we've exhausted every option we can think of to try to find a way to provide some type of food service in that building.
But then it appears that the only option would be to bring someone in to operate, is that correct?
If that was the, if that was a majority decision of council, because council does make decisions, understanding it's a non-budgeted item, that it would probably be January before it was even up and running. Because by the time you advertise for staff, if the permit's back in place, it's January. We know how successful not we were with finding people to work on the front door.
And so there's two options. One is to spend a significant amount of money to staff it. I don't think we can staff it on a small scale. We can't hire somebody to manage it and only work 3 hours a week. If we're going to hire somebody and pay them full-time wages, they're going to have to work full-time. So we're going to have the canteen open on a regular basis and incur the loss, because we're going to keep paying wages to be there and not generating a lot of revenue, which is what has happened in the past. And the other option simply is say, we've tried our best. It's just not a business model to operate a canteen, and we just encourage people to continue to support the local businesses, whether you're going to the Dollarama, McDonald's, Subway, Tim Hortons, Sobeys Superstore, going to the restaurant, the restaurants downtown, getting pizza or whatever before the game or wherever you're going, and supporting those local businesses and continue to do that.
Councilor Charlton?
I'm just wondering why we automatically assume that someone wouldn't want that position necessarily for part time. Because we're just, that's just an assumption being made. I mean, there are lots of people, some moms, different things like that, that aren't looking for 40 hours a week. That may be a part-time run at canteen, be attractive to them. So I think to just naturally assume that, or automatically assume that, I'm not necessarily in favor of assuming that. And we already know that, you know, it's not a huge money maker, but it's a part of the facility, so could we not try to staff this on a part-time basis first? And I mean, I've had lots of emails about the canteen. No one complained to me about the tax rate personally. And I remember different conversations at Queen's Place before, and about, you know, some people saying, you know, they weren't happy that Queen's Place runs a deficit and things like that. But I think we also have to remember that this facility is for our community, and if you're offering things to the community, it's not going to be profitable all the time.
Could we put things like in there, like sandwiches and subs and things, instead of doing fryers? I mean, that
whatever you'd like.
That would probably.
I know it was suggested to me. Why don't just sell? Why do you have to have fryers? Because when you have fryers and you're in occupational health, then who wants to put two students working deep fryers?
But that food could all be frozen.
Pardon?
That food that's going in a fryer, it's frozen, so the longevity of it. Look at it in that sense.
It does, but we could also hire a student working instead if we did.
With the deep fryer?
No, not the deep fryer, but if we did sandwiches and subs and things like that, just.
I mean,
it still requires a manage, you know, it's still.
It does, but.
If we put out an advertisement for someone to run that canteen, and maybe it's advertised as like a part-time, I don't know, maybe 20 to 30 hours a week, like it could vary depending on what's happening. And then part of that would be what that person brings to the table. So if they have experience in the food service industry, then they may have ideas. I mean, you need someone with experience to man it, in my opinion, and someone that has that experience can say to you, like, okay, well, yeah, sandwiches go over great, good, or I would suggest hot dogs, french fries, things that can be frozen so that you're not throwing stuff out all the time, depending on how busy the facility is, canteen.
And that's specifically what we've been advertising for.
Yeah.
Advertising for someone to operate a canteen. There's been no set hours. There's used, and despite what people may have read, there's no set rental fee. That's all negotiable. Anyone could come forward tomorrow, say, here's my offer, I'll pay you this much money, I wanna rent that space, and.
Respectfully, I understand that, but during a cleaner environment, running your own business is not ideal for everyone, especially in a pandemic. It's no longer attractive, in my opinion, so I think we have to consider that.
So you're suggesting that we would just flat rate, pay someone X amount of dollars, and say, run the canteen? And regardless of whether they made money or lost money, doesn't really matter to them because they're getting paid.
Well, I would look at it, why are we willing to staff the bar and sell a couple of drinks and lose money, but we're not willing to staff the canteen? I don't really understand that.
Well, just, if I may just clarify, we staffed the bar the first time, we didn't staff it the second time.
No.
Okay.
Because we sold 3 drinks. Now we're staffing it for the curling event, because we are doing a reasonable business there. But going forward, if there's not revenue in the bar, we will not be staffing the bar. Continue to lose money and throw liquor away.
I'm still of the mind of taking the cost away and just putting it out there and saying if anybody is willing to do the hockey games for dispensing from there, that they bring a plan to us what they could do, and so it's no cost to us, and if they want to, and then put it back to the public if they want it. Or somebody who can find some way of making money, or maybe they're just going to say, I'm going to do it at halftime, or maybe they're good. Whatever they can do, it would give them an opportunity if they could make monies. But they would have to bring the presentation to us, but we'd give it to them for free, and it wouldn't cost us anything, and we wouldn't, and they'd be just dispensing.
I know it was suggested that several organizations operate the canteen. The difficulty was that there's a food establishment permit that can go in one name. So the idea of different people all the time dispensing food, each vendor requires a food establishment permit.
But if they're packaged, then you can't. Then you can do that. Because you're not dispensing it, it's already prepackaged or something. Things like that.
And then
Mayor News, you look like you're in deep thought.
I was just saying, there are rules about preparing food.
I always knew the answer.
Yeah.
The answer.
There are health and safety rules about preparing food. You can't typically prepare food off site and bring it somewhere else to sell it. You need to prepare the food. In most instances,
in a licensed commercial.
Prepare the food on the site where you're selling it at. So there are some restrictions around that.
Councilor Charlton?
So that food permit could be under Queen's Place name and have, like, if you had the Lions Club and various not-for-profits in, they couldn't work under the Queen's Place food permit. They would all need a separate permit.
If the Queen's Place health permit, then they would be responsible for all food safety coming out of there. And food safety is a
7 mil or something like that.
So then it will fall back on Queen's
the
Place. And Queen's Place has nothing to do with
it.
Not their staff, it's volunteer. To Jack's comment, if that can't work like that for not for profits because of the logistics of the permit for the food, then I think we have, if we want to have a canteen service, I don't think we have a choice. I think it has to be staff. I think it should try to be on a part time basis. There's been comments before about, like, the gym traffic is not interested in the canteen. I don't know if it was always like that.
Been that way since day one.
Okay.
Actually, zero sales from the gym.
Right. So to me, then that says we're looking at it for hockey games, figure skating competitions, minor hockey tournaments, whatever, curling.
And there have been one or two existing companies, they just said not now. They can't staff their own businesses.
I think that's another part of the equation, that if we hire a manager, can we staff it anyhow? I mean, are we gonna be able to hire people that are willing to come in and work on a part-time basis or not?
And it'll be like 2 hours this week, 3 hours next week.
Yeah. It's hard enough to hire people for a full-time job, let alone odd hours. A lot of places that have canteens, that they're run by their minor hockey association on a volunteer basis. But in order to make it work, they have to ban all outside food from coming in, so nobody'd be able to go to Tim Hortons, nobody'd be able to go to McDonald's or Subway and bring something with them.
It's the dollar store.
It's the only way it would work. And
79-cent pop.
It's.
And I personally believe that was the downfall of that canteen, allowing people to take food and beverage into that facility. Because I was here in the early days, and that canteen was staffed morning because there was thought that if you had muffins and juice and a coffee, someone leaving early would pick that up. Figure skating practices, it was open during minor hockey practices, figure skating. So people brought coffee drinker, bring it in. And it is the 1st of November next week. So even if we all decide, or the majority decide to staff it, it will be at least in January before it's up and running. So you have January, February, March, and you're shut. I mean, I really don't know. I like to go to an area and have an ability to, you know, have a cup of coffee or hot chocolate. But I'm also wary of the cost. And I really do not want to put any extra work on existing staff. Curling, when things went side, you know, maybe even groups doing hospitable coffee or free coffee with a donation cup. Because I spoke to someone involved in curling, and you know, coffee is what they seem to want.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen overnight, regardless. But I think it's worth putting out there to see what comes back. We may be surprised, and maybe we won't be surprised, and maybe there won't be any interest in it, but I think it's worth a try.
So we know about Councillor Charlton's opinion. Both the rest of you are going to discuss it.
I agree with Councillor Charlton 100% that we have to, that appears to be our only way to do it. I think that's, we should at least look at it do a little bit more research or put something out there that we can get additional information.
So specifically, as you state that, I'd like to know specifically what you mean when you say get it out there, because our staff has to have some sense of direction and get it out there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that they don't come back with something and it's like, no, that's not what we meant. So, you know, it'd be good if you could specifically express so we all can have a sense of. Please keep your comments so we can all hear them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Councillor Merrill, you were going to say something?
Well, could we not try to advertise it to see if we could get workers for it? I mean, we're trying to advertise it now to see if anybody will come in and take it over, but so could we not try to advertise, like,
or
maybe part-time workers, at least give it a stab and see if anybody does?
For workers to order the food, get the food license.
Work part-time at it,
look,
yes.
Look after the food management, make sure that, like, a management person, and then it's their responsibility to also work the hours it's open.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Charlton, that you're nodding about?
Yeah, because I think that if it was super busy in a viable canteen, then you could potentially look at a manager doing all the behind-the-scenes things, but I think that's not realistic at this point. I think it would be realistic to look for that person to be responsible for all those things, but also to work the canteen, and then maybe it's a student, someone else that works with them. But I think that you have to advertise for that position first, because that person's responsibility is going to be find someone that can work with them and what they envision for the canteen.
Is that what you meant, Counselor Merrill?
I mean, we may not have any applicants, but we may have somebody that, you know, does want to do this.
We should just seek applications.
At least try, yeah.
For someone to look after all management aspects of the canteen and be the worker and work the canteen and look after all the accounts, the costs. I guess that would be a staffing decision as to how that works. We have to remember we're municipal government, so we have to make sure every little penny is in there and those orderings are all PO'd and done properly and any food waste is noted and. Set a fee structure? Do we ask them what they would expect for that type of, what do you suggest for that? Like, maybe we'll figure out what it is everyone wants. Do we ask them to, if you're so interested in operating a canteen that may be open 10 hours or 40 hours if it's March break, and, you know, enlist the responsibilities and then suggest to us what they would want for a wage to do that? Set the wage. What is it?
Couldn't that come back with a recommendation in what do you find something that's fair and reasonable range for that category? I mean, none of us are in the food service industry, so we really can't speculate that, but that could be something that staff brings back that they believe is fair in the range.
Which would bring us back to November 9th. If there is time within that next 2 weeks to bring that back. And then it's.
So staff would have to prepare, staff would have to prepare a job description, which would take some time to determine that. In there, but if you wish to go, that would be the next step. But recognizing it's, although I appreciate we say part time, once we hire somebody, there won't be any part time because if somebody's going to be expected to work in the kitchen and also do management functions, that will be a full time job with all the requirements for management, occupational health and safety, ordering, cash management, debit, hiring people, managing people, scheduling people. Won't be a simple thing. So as I said before previously, you're looking at, I forget what the number was, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to go through this process. And that's a net, or that's a net cost after we have some sales. We don't expect significant sales. So. But the next step, if council wishes to go there, would be to prepare a job description with all that detailed stuff laid out as far as what the person's expected to do. I would suggest it's not a minimum wage job by any means. It's going to be a management job. If somebody's managing people, managing equipment, managing health and safety, so the wage rate would have to reflect what that would be.
Or you may just wish it to just end at April 1st and then just give it a trial, see how it went. I don't know the benefit of continuing in the summer. I mean, but these are things that staff need to know before they do the work, bring something forward, and then it gets all thrown back on the working table, then it comes forward again. I'm just thinking about if you could just make the points and the expectations clearly known. So when staff do their work, they bring back what it is you wish. So wish this to just be something that starts when it can start, be it January, and then end, probably ice season ends April 1st, after March break generally.
Are there no events in the summer typically whatsoever?
Nope.
So then this could be a seasonal. What would be a reasonable time frame then?
September to April 1st, or Hank Snow's the only summer event that's not in?
Hank Snow's gonna be in August for a couple of days. We used to have some bookings in May with a private rental for a weekend, but they refused to have food service. The agreement was that when we rented to them, we weren't allowed to have food service during their event, although they filled the place. But we couldn't have food service during their event, so. So even September is early. We, like hockey and figure skating, they don't start till October. So it would be October, November, December, January, February, March, typically would be the 6 month time frame that we have the most used. The other times are very peripheral. It's hit and miss as far as whether you have any events. There may be an event here or there, but it'd be very sporadic and very rare.
You know, it may be surprising. The right person, the right type of food, it may work, it may flop, but then you can say, well, it was tried.
Well, it wouldn't be really a full-time job. I mean, if it's only seasonal, if it's only 6 months out of the year.
I guess my comment was, if we were going to have someone manage it, then potentially that person works in the canteen too, then the Mr. Neal's comment, then that's unlikely it would be part-time hours. So I don't know, is it reasonable to ask that, or are we more so looking for a part-time? I guess you'd spend that anyway if you just have the food managers working part-time, and there's going to have to be other staff as well. So I don't know what the right answer is for the logistics of it.
And we don't either. So we talk about 6 months as a regular season, but if something comes, like we used to have a home show in May, so
okay.
if you're going to hire somebody, are you going to say, okay, well, now we want you to come back for 1 weekend? And then you hang snow, we want you to come back, you get 2 months off, and then we want you to come back for 3 days. And they might say, sorry, I'm not doing that. I'll come for the 6 months, but I'm not doing the other ones.
Okay.
And it puts us back in the same boat where we have these special events, and those are the ones that need the larger food service the most, because you got the most people at one time over a few days. But those would then be excluded again, because the person might well say, well, I'm not going to, through all this process and bring in all new inventory and do all that stuff for a couple of days, and then end up throwing half of it out. Because even frozen stuff, if we stop at the end of March, the stuff isn't going to be good come October, so it's all going to have to be thrown out.
I think we're just 2 months too late to do anything this year. I think things can change next year with COVID. Maybe we will get some interest and there'll be more stuff in Queen's Place.
I'm forgetting.
I'd like to move this to the November 9th for our next meeting.
For discussion?
For further discussion, because I want to do a little bit of work on it to just get an idea of where we're going here. I wasn't sure where our discussion was going to go this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So this would give us some more time to look at it and make some valid requests, I guess,
yeah.
A more reasonable request.
Well, I know Deputy Moose has been seeking, and I pulled some food owners in there, and so the motion has been made that this issue be referred to the next council meeting for further discussion. That's made by Councilor Gidney, and that's seconded by Deputy Mayor Muse. Any question or discussion on that motion? If not, I'll ask for the vote. All those in favor? Contrary?
Councilor Mayor was against.
Oh, you voted
ahead
against as well?
Yeah.
Thank you for that discussion. And as councilors, Councilor Gidney suggested, you can do some investigation, you can talk to people, you can get some ideas, bring them forward. Seven point four, so
work on other people's property?
We have a couple in Liverpool, just within the road right away, not within the road right away, not quite sure, in front of like the Bank of Montreal, next to on Market Street, next to between where the vacant lot is there. We have some trees and shrubs in there. And then there's one other location.
On Henry Hensley Drive, just bordering the Liverpool Eye Care Center's parking lot and the Golden Pond parking lot.
So they're all right next to sidewalks or within our road right away or not within our road right away. The former town would have put them in many years ago. So other than that, there's not any that we're aware of.
That's my question. Councilor Gibney?
Is there some grant that they could apply for to have that looked after?
They could apply under our community investment fund if they qualify. I'm not sure their specifics.
I'm sorry?
They could apply under the community investment fund if they're eligible. I'm not sure their specifics of their financial situation or what the cost would be or anything like that, but they could certainly do that.
But what I'm trying to get at, I think it's a good idea that we would do that. However, if we do this, then we're going to open up everything, and I don't think that would be fair to the Store Works Department to be working on everything that's going on. Because if we start doing it, then we're going to receive additional requests, and where do you stop? That's one of the problems I have. But I think I'd like to see something that we could do, like direct them, maybe apply for the grant, if they qualify, and then if they don't, then I'm not sure where we would go from there. Other than the no.
Director Grant, do you have any comments? Have you looked at that? Do you know, like, basically how much work is involved with what they're talking? They talk about a shrub garden, the maintenance of a shrub garden.
It is, yeah. So it's only a small portion of property that abuts Main Street. The work involved could be perceived as minimal, but where does it end? As Councilor Gibney said, it starts here, and then next week it's another group, and then another group, and before we know, we're doing the garden all over. Matter. So, you know, optically it's pretty small, it's not highly involved. Specifically to that garden is not overly labor involved. There'd be some budget impacts that would probably be absorbed, you know. But where does it end, I guess, is a big question.
Because then we could very well have other non for profit organizations requesting that we send our crew out with the bush cutters or help with something on their property.
Paint a fire hall.
What was that?
Paint a fire hall for them.
We own the fire.
We don't.
Yes, but we are talking about Main Street.
Yeah.
You know, this is, we should have, this is not a very big property. I mean, what, it's 10 feet long, maybe?
No, it's roughly about 100 feet long.
Is it that long?
You know, in the perspective, Main Street is pretty short in the grand scheme, but over the years, we've been approached for various things. I mean, Council Brown mentioned painting the fire hall, we've been approached to paint a church and things of that various nature. So if we approach these incidents just on a minor basis, they will grow out of proportion.
There is funds within. And this is the end of planting season.
What would be the cost to do that area? I don't think in an awkward position, but
I can't comment on what they would pay for service, but it wouldn't be over financially burdensome, given what we already pay to maintain the exponential amount of gardens that we already maintain today. We have six full-time staff on for 36 weeks of the year, and everything we already have. So this would add a slight amount to that. It would be very minimal, but it would be still a cost. I can't comment on that.
I always want to help not-for-profit organizations. I would find it hard to say yes to this and then have another come, and maybe it's in, I don't know, Greenfield or Caledonia, and then we say no. So I think, to be fair, if there are funds under our community investment grants, that we should direct them there. And if they're not eligible for that, then we should revisit this conversation.
It's not a group of.
Yeah.
I agree.
So is that the general consensus? That we write back and express our reasoning why? And suggest that they apply to community investment fund? Councilor Brown?
I think we could even ask maybe like our MPAL coordinator. There's groups that wanna get out moving, that do gardening, maybe, you know, to try to get a group together for recreation, gardening, something like that. Try to find a creative solution to help them out without taking on the responsibility ourselves and opening up that can of worms.
We are the county, we are the region of Queens.
Yep.
We'll let rest out at that. We don't need a motion or anything for that. And Councilor Fancy?
It's too bad that some of the schools wouldn't take on projects like that, you know, like it'd be a great thing for like the Wickwire kids to go up and do something like that for the community. And maybe approach the, I guess that's not our position to do that. But somebody to approach them and say, hey, look, here's a group that's been here long standing, they can't look after this anymore. Is there any way that we get a group to come forward and do something like this?
Councilor Charlton?
Just thinking of those two comments, but MPAL, but then, so maybe they just need some direction to have a conversation. Like there's the Duke of Edinburgh, there's always youth looking for hours.
Mm.
For their awards, so maybe something like that. Troy Smith runs that. He reached out to see if maybe that's something that could be coordinated.
Which is why I asked Director Grant, like, what is involved? Is it lawn mowing, or is it just pulling out weeds, or is it just gathering up the litter around the shrubs? It says shrub garden.
Yeah, so as far as I understand, it's just what edges the sidewalk on Main Street. And there's just that short garden. There's a few cedars and junipers there that probably need to be weeded. And most, that's all we expect to do. I don't know that down over the bank there's mowing to be done or anything like that.
There would be a little.
And the letter doesn't really mention it. But I don't believe that there's a whole lot of necessary equipment or really intensive labor required.
So as good elected people, we can also find a way to individual or...
I don't mind asking Troy Smith if that's something that... Duke of Edinburgh may be interested in, and then to Councilor Brown's comment about Norma Miro with MPAL, maybe there's something that we're missing.
We've got things like 4-H and things. They have to work so many hours. And what are they doing this year? Because there's no like meals to serve at and things like that. And I used to hang up with Milton Hall and things like that. Just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just need, sometimes need to know where there's a project.
Satisfied with what you
commenced
to reply?
Okay, so we'll reply and encourage them in January, before January, to apply for the CIF if they're interested next year. And they can determine if they're eligible and work with Dana on that.
Okay.
And in the meantime, Councilor Charlton will talk to Mr. Smith about the Duke of Edinburgh Award and if other councilors know of other groups. And then I'll mention it to the MPAL coordinator as well if he's aware of some people that are looking to volunteer or help out with charity groups or whatever.
Oh, I know someone.
Suggest that, then they can they can reach out to the Legion directly and offer their services.
They just need some fall look after, I know.
Yeah.
A couple of people we can do that with permission from the Legion. Just need shrub trimming up and, you know, that. But it makes sense when you speak of, even though it's small and we all want to help, especially the Legion.
Yeah.
We all want to help non-for-profits, but we also realize that what we do for one, we do for all. In the region of Queens. And before we move in camera, we need a motion to move in camera.